Job presenting that. I ask him to do it. Now, this is a biblical lesson. So don't think on Friday, on Wednesday night, it's just going to be a dead, dull, boring financial seminar. It's going to be Bible. Are you aware tonight that the Bible speaks more about finances than it does about prayer? Did you know that money has to do with your attitude more than anything else? Money really is it's a revealer of things. Your attitude toward your money says a lot to God and a lot about yourself. And so this is a really important seminar. It will teach you a lot of things, perhaps some things that you haven't thought about before. Amen. I've heard people say money talks. Well, mine does. It says goodbye. But the secret is just to tell it where to go. It's going to go somewhere, so you might as well tell it where to go and be able to direct it. And that's what the seminar is going to be about. It is very, very exciting and good. Amen. So you'll enjoy it, and I encourage you to be here Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. I want to read a verse tonight from the book of Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 12, and then verse 14 and 15. Praise the Lord. Thanks to all of you for all you do. Brother and Sister Hunt did two fish dinners this week, and they were both good. I got some of both of them. Amen. It's amazing what you can do with an old dead fish. But it turned out really good, and I enjoyed it. Amen. Thank you so much for your work. The others of you that have worked, Sunday school's work, youth work, we just work around here. Amen. If you're scared of work, this is a dangerous place to be. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, "Work does not scare me. I can lay right down beside it and take a nap." So I've met folks like that too. It didn't bother them at all. Amen. They could just watch other people work all day long. Amen. We had a fellow one time, we were building on a church building, and he came to help us, just stopped in to help. Nice fella. He said, "You know," he said, "I always enjoy going to church on Sunday morning." I said, "Well, come in the morning. We'd love to have you here." He said, "I always enjoy a good nap on Sunday morning." And I said, "Well, great. Just come on and sleep with us." He lasted, well, pretty much into the worship service, and we disturbed him so much. He couldn't get his nap, so he left. But we tried, you know, to help him along there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then in verse 14, he explained it a little more clearly. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." Our subject tonight is just this: something God will not do. Something that God will not do. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. But there's something that God will not do. And He told us about it here tonight. Lord bless you, and you may be seated. God is a God of mercy. The Scriptures are replete with references to the mercies of God. Amen. The Bible reigns with mercy. Amen. God is the author of mercy. Mercy began with God. It's a God idea. God Himself exemplifies mercy time and time and time and time again. The book of Psalm 130, verse 3 and verse 4 said, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." If God just wanted to keep score tonight, if all God wanted to do was to mark down your sins and your faults and your failures, who could stand here tonight? If these screens tonight were turned into a marker board of your faults and your failures and your sins were flashed before this congregation, who would be able to sit here tonight? Amen. But the Bible said, but God is great and there's forgiveness with Him. Hallelujah. Because He wants to. Nobody can make God forgive. God forgives because He wants to forgive. The seventh verse said, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord, with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption." Don't you love that word? Plenteous redemption. Amen. And then in the eighth verse it said, "And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." You see, God loves mercy. And anybody that really has a heart full of love loves mercy. Parents love mercy. That's why kids live. If it wasn't for mercy, the human race would have died out long ago. Amen. But parents love mercy. Parents love other people to have mercy. Amen. Yeah, they do. Amen. I will never ever forget when my dad sent a letter back to the principal of the school. I got a bad note for doing a bad thing. And I did. I did a bad thing. I know you can't believe that. But I did. I did it stupidly. I did it ignorantly. I got caught up in the fun I was having, didn't realize what I was doing, but I did a bad thing. And I was in a lot of trouble. My dad sent a letter back to the principal saying, "Remember, you were a boy one time too." And that's all he said. I never got a whipping. But that letter did me more good than 100 whippings because it meant my dad understood me. I was already crying when I gave it to him. Amen. In my mind, already we've been whipped 100 times before he ever got that note. And I guess he knew that. But I'm glad my dad had mercy. Amen. One more wouldn't have hurt much more than what I'd already had. But I'm glad he had mercy. Amen. God is a God of mercy. He loves to have mercy. Psalm 103 verse 10. "For He hath not dwelt with us." I'm sorry. Psalm 103. Did I say 130? The numbers are all, the letters are all, they're just mixed up. 103. Chapter 103 verse 10 to 12 said, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Aren't you glad? "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Woo! Hallelujah. When you ask God to forgive you, friend, you'll never see that again. Now, I'm glad that didn't say the north from the south, because you can only go so far north and you're going to start south again. Isn't that right? Because the earth's circular. And you start heading north and you get over the top, you'll head south. So you'd meet your transgressions again. But God said east from west.
If you start traveling east, it'll always be east. If you start traveling west, it'll always be west. So God's saying, once I forgive your sins, you're not ever going to see them again. Praise God. That's the way God likes to forgive. And when you're like God, you just forget sins and forgive sins and forget about it. You know, people don't do that so easily. Have you ever been around somebody that every time they have a little disagreement, they start bringing up things from the past? Now, that'll kill a marriage. Woo-hoo! Don't talk about that, Pastor. Yeah, man, I said that'll kill a marriage. You start bringing up people's past and things that happened in the past and rehashing all that garbage. Hey, be like Jesus. Forget it. Never speak of it again. Amen. Isn't that what you like for people to do for you? How many of you enjoy people digging stuff up from your past and slamming it in your face? Let's not do that to others. Be like Jesus. Forget about it. They'll make some more mistakes. They'll mess up again. You'll get to say, I told you so again. Just forget the past. Amen. Isn't that right? Everybody said amen. All right, because we're all made out of the same stuff right here. Some got more than others, but we all got the same flesh. Isaiah chapter 1 and 18. I love this verse. I hear the Lord saying, come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God said that. He said, come. Amen. Though your sins be red like crimson. Amen. You know what that was? They double dyed a garment. They didn't just dye it once. They double dyed it. They made sure that that color was in there real good and it would never come out. And sin can be awfully stubborn. But God said, I've got a cleanser that is so strong. There's no sin that it cannot cleanse. It can get down so deep into the very fabric of the being and it can wash from the inside out. Until something double dipped in the dye can be completely made white as snow. I'm telling you tonight, God is big on mercy and God is big on forgiveness and He wants us to be the same way. The Bible said that we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and God loves mercy, and His church should love mercy. We ought to be the most merciful people on the planet Earth tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody love mercy here? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. One lady got her pictures back. She's all upset. She went back to the photographer and she said, sir, these pictures do not do me justice. He looked at the pictures and said, honey, you don't need justice. You need mercy. You know what? Sometimes we think we need justice and God said, oh no, you don't want justice. What you need is mercy. What you need is mercy. Amen. David is such a vivid example of that. You remember David, he got proud and a little haughty and a little cold and a little distant. And he fell into some horrible, horrible sins. David did some things that were so bad, nobody would have ever thought David could do something like that. Who would ever have thought that adultery would have been in the heart of David? Who would ever have imagined that cruel conniving and murder could be in the heart of David? Who would ever have imagined that? It seems so hard to believe that the sweet psalmist and singer of Israel could have something like that in his heart. But he did. And he covered it all up. And he harbored that. And he guarded that. And he thought he got away with it for a while. Then one day, an old prophet walked into the courtroom and the throne room, and he walked right up to the throne. And he said, "David, I got a little story I want to tell you." And David, recognizing the man of God and loving the man of God, said, "Pray on. Say on. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever shut the man of God out of your life. You may not like some of the things he says. And there are times in your life when he may not be the most popular or the one you want to listen to, but don't you ever shut the man of God out of your life." David, in his worst time, did not shut the prophet out of his life. Even though I got a feeling deep down he knew he was in trouble. But he said, "All right, Nathan, speak to me." Nathan said, "There was a man that had just one little old sheep. And his neighbor that had the whole bunch of sheep had a visitor. And when the visitor came, he wanted to feed him. So he took the only lamb that man had. And he took it to his house. And he slew it and he killed it and he dressed it and he cooked it. And he fed it to his guest." And David, the great shepherd of the psalm, said, "Who is that man? He's going to pay." And the prophet pointed and said, "David, thou art the man." David got off of the throne, down on his knees, and he began to ask God for mercy. And God had mercy. Amen. God had mercy. And God forgave David's sin. Penalties, yes. Let's not deceive ourselves, folks. Sin is never without consequences. You'll not be judged or go to hell because of a forgiven sin, but sin always has consequences. David's sin had consequences. Oh, a heavy price. But I'm telling you, God had mercy. And David sang God's praise because of His mercy. His bountiful, beautiful mercy. One of my favorite psalms in the Bible is Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance. In thanksgiving to God for His great mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord. David was forgiven. But there's one thing or something that God will not do. Go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 18. Peter was feeling, I guess, sort of magnanimous one day. And he says to the Lord, he said, "Lord," he said, "how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" He said, "Well, up to 7 times." He was doing good, wasn't he? Old Pete thought he was being awful merciful that day. He thought, "Jesus, you're going to be proud of me. I'm going to get real generous. Should I forgive my brother 7 times in one day?" And then Jesus said, "I say unto thee, until not 7 times, but until 70 times 7. You know, the math got to working, and he said, "Goodness gracious, 490 times a day? But you know what? It's even more than that." Because that was a Hebrewism that wasn't, it didn't just stop at 7, but what the 7 meant was, it never stops. As many times as he asks, you forgive. Now, I would have to say tonight, somebody that asked me 490 times for the same thing, I'm going to question his sincerity. Somebody steps on my toe and said, I'm sorry, I'll forgive. But if he does it seven times, probably not even that many, I'm going to learn to just move my foot. I mean, I'll forgive all right, but I'm going to forgive at a distance. We're going to put a little separation in this arrangement here. Amen. But I will forgive. But Jesus, of course, is saying that our mercy needs to be without limit, just like the mercy of God. And then Jesus begins to tell a parable here. In the 23rd verse, he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Do you know about how much money that would be? $10 million. How in the world do you ever get in debt $10 million? But he did. He needed the financial seminar. Bad. He needed to listen to Dave Ramsey and Michael Bacon. $10 million. And the king brought him in and he said, all right, bud, it's time to pay. And the man said, I don't have it. He said, okay. He said, then I'll sell you, and I'll sell your wife, and I'll sell your children and your home, all of your possessions. Now, there's not a man alive that's worth $10 million. I hear people say, well, how much are you worth? Well, the fact of the matter is, not much. Brother Holly used to say, you can take 5 cents worth of iodine, insert it into anybody's thyroid, and make them a raving idiot. So we're really not worth a whole lot. I read one time the chemical composition of the human body, and it actually at that time, and this has been a number of years ago, would come up to about $6 million. But who wants to be divided into a bunch of chemicals? How are you going to suck all that stuff out? So he said, I'm going to sell you, your wife, your children. And it was legal in those days to do that. I mean, the king, of course, being sovereign, could do anything he wanted to. But that was within his rights to do that. And he said, I'm going to sell everything you got. I'm going to sell you. I'm going to sell all your family. And then we're going to put that towards your debt. Well, the man knew that it would never satisfy the debt. And he should have thought of that earlier. But he hit his knees and he began to worship, saying, Lord, listen to this very closely. Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Now, how do you repay $10 million? I'm not sure how you do that. When you're $10 million in debt, I'm not sure how you ever get out. And to me, this also speaks very strongly that that king must have had a whole lot of money. If just one man owed him $10 million and he was still rocking on, he was doing all right. He was doing good and it didn't cause his kingdom to fail. But the Bible says when the man kneeled down and began to worship, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And he loosed him. I say he loosed him. And he forgave him the debt. Can you imagine being forgiven $10 million worth of debt? That's beyond my imagination. Wow. $10 million worth of debt. But you know what? You and I have been forgiven many times more than that. Because we have a King that's rich in mercy. You're looking at a man tonight that has been forgiven for almost 60 years worth of sin. And thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. And they're fresh every day. Amen. God has forgiven over and 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 over again. Oh, I'm a rich man tonight. Rich in mercy. But the Bible says in verse 28, the same servant, the same man that had been forgiven $10 million, went out, found a man that owed him $20, grabbed him around the neck and began to shake him, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." Boy, that's even hard to imagine, isn't it? Slammed him into prison. Said, "You'll never get out of here until you pay me every cent that you owe me." But you know what? I have seen people that God had forgiven so much. Hold a grudge against a brother or a sister. They'd only wrong them in one way. How many times have we wronged God, and how many ways have we wronged God? But there are people that because somebody wronged them, they're just like that man. In their spirit, they get a hold of them and they squeeze them and they say, "I'm not going to forgive. I'm going to put you in the prison of my memory, and I'm not going to ever let you out until you make everything right." The Bible says that the friends of that servant went to the Lord of that servant that had forgiven him $10 million and told him the story. And when the Lord of that servant heard the story, he said, "All right, you bring that man back to me. And you stand him where he was standing before." And he brought him in. And I'm sure by now his attitude has changed. He's scared out of his skin. He stands there shaking and trembling and ashen before his Lord that has forgiven him, and he stands before him and he looks in his eyes and there's no mercy. He looks at a stone set countenance and there's no smile and there's no compassion. And whenever he answers, his voice is shaking with anger, and he says, "Take this man and deliver him to the tormentors." Nothing said about selling him now. Nothing said about wife and kids this time. Nothing said about possessions now. He said, "You take him to the torturers. And you let them torture him until he repays me every cent." Whoa. What a horrible thought. What a horrible thought. There's one thing that God will not do. God will not forgive you
if you don't forgive others. God will not forgive you if you don't forgive others. Now this is an amazing concept, that if I withhold forgiveness from somebody, God will hold me accountable for what He has forgiven me for. It's hard to imagine that God can bring back memory and say, all right, I had wiped this clean. But if you want to do that, I'm going to give you the same thing that you've done. If you want to hold this against somebody else, I'll bring the record back against you. You want to live in torment? Live in unforgiveness. You know what unforgiveness will do? It'll destroy you. It will torment you. It will destroy you. You want to lose good sleep? Hold a grudge. I know nobody's ever done that here tonight, but there are people that have. I've known people. I mean, I've heard of people that got unforgiveness in their heart. And they'd lay down in the bed, and in their head they were going through it again, and they were saying, he said, I wish I would have said, next time I'm going to say, and then I'm going to say, and then I'm going to, and they do that all night long. And the sun comes up, and the alarm goes off, and it's time to get to work, and you get up, and you're a grouch, and you're snapping at everybody, and oh, you're happy in your unforgiveness. And you go through the day. And everybody gets on your nerves. And you can't. Everybody's noisy. And you're just nasty to everybody. And you go home. And you go to sleep. And you do it again. You say, I remember what you said to me. I'll never forget it. The longest day I'll live. And you go through another night, and you toss, and you turn, and you're tormented. And you get up another day, and you're warped, and you're weary. And you live your life like that. And that other person controls your thoughts. And they control your actions, and they rob you of joy in life. And moments that should be precious, but you don't even see it because you're seething with resentment and anger towards somebody else. That's the tormentor. And your mind is filled with that. Your heart gets full of that. And then you don't trust anybody. Somebody says, well, isn't this a lovely day? And you think, well, what's good about it? Somebody says, you look nice today. You say, well, wonder what to think about me other days. Your mind is filled with suspicion and anger. You live like that. Isn't it great to be forgiven and live in mercy? Amen. And live in forgiveness. Don't let a grudge bring you down. Don't let a grudge torment you and ruin your life and your days. And the worst thing is to bring the judgment of God back into your life again. When you had been liberated and set free, but holding a grudge can bring it all back, and God will judge you again. He said He would do it. He said, if you don't forgive those that trespass against you, one little boy had a little problem with trespass. So he said, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who trash baskets against us. Amen. But he had it pretty good. Because that's what it amounts to, a bunch of trash, a bunch of garbage. Why in the world would we hold on to something like that? And yet, we do. We do. Forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness. Jesus was in a house one time, and this man had invited him there. And I've told you before the story and how they worked, but they were in a courtyard outside in the patio, if you will. And in Oriental times, they had tables lower than this altar bench. They were not tables like we use today. They were short and close, and they had pillows all around. And so when people came and got ready to eat, they would actually lay down and lean on their arm, and they would get up against the table, and they would eat and lay in a reclined position. And Jesus was there with Simon in his house, and the Bible said this woman all of a sudden entered into the courtyard, and she came to the feet of Jesus and ignored everybody else there, and she kneeled down and she began to weep profusely. And they had, you understand, in Bible times they used to catch their tears in bottles, and the Bible speaks of our tears being bottled up. But they would do that, and tears were considered sacred. It was the symbol of all of your sorrow and all of the difficulties and the bitterness of your life. And so that Jesus was reclined, that woman comes and she's weeping, and undoubtedly she had her tear bottle, and she emptied it out at the feet of Jesus. And then she took the hair of her head and she began to wipe his feet and wash his feet and cleanse his feet and dry his feet with the hairs of her head. And these men are thinking, if he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. Amen. And then Jesus tells Simon, he said, I have a question for you, Simon. He said, somebody, who's going to love more? Somebody that has been forgiven a whole lot? Or somebody that's just been forgiven a little? Simon said, well, I guess somebody that's forgiven a whole lot. And then he told him, he said, this woman, come in here. He said, when I came into your house, you didn't greet me with a kiss. She kissed my feet. When I came in, you didn't give me anything to wash my old dirty feet with, but she washed my feet with her tears. You didn't dry my feet, but she's dried it with her hair. You didn't even greet me as a friend, and she's worshipped me. And he said to the woman, he said, thy sins be forgiven me. You see, she had a lot of things to be forgiven for, and she loved much. Amen. And tonight, all of us, really, I think if you don't think you've been forgiven very much, you just don't keep the same kind of record God does. Amen. I mean, there's more sins than adultery in the Bible. There's more sins than cussing and lying in the Bible. There are sins of the Spirit, like pride, arrogance, and haughtiness, and gossip. Amen. There's a lot of sins in the Bible besides the ones that we normally name. And to be forgiven tonight. Oh, to be forgiven. To be forgiven. Thank God for mercy. He's plenteous, the Bible said, in redemption. Let's stand together. Anybody here been forgiven? Has anybody here been forgiven a whole lot? Is anybody here real thankful tonight for forgiveness? Please, please, don't make God judge you again. Don't let all of that old record come back again. Don't let that debt come crashing down upon your shoulders because of something so foolish as unforgiveness.
When somebody does you wrong, don't even ask for an apology. Forgive instantly. Forgive freely. It's one of the greatest gifts that you'll ever give yourself, is not to live with bitterness, not even a day. Amen. Just don't let it tie you up. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? How do you do that, Brother Grissom? You practice forgiveness. You practice forgiveness. Whatever they say, whatever they do, you instantly, as soon as you feel the pain and the hurt of that, and the bitterness begin to seep into your soul, you immediately go to God and say, Lord, I'm forgiving them. I'm releasing this. I'm not going to let this into my spirit. I'm going to push it out of my mind. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to dwell on it. You've forgiven me so much. I don't, whether they ask me to forgive them or not, I'm forgiving them right now. Don't let it into your spirit. Don't let it into your heart. But just keep it out. Amen. Praise God. Unforgiveness and bitterness cannot live in a heart full of the love of God. It cannot do it. The Bible said, keep yourselves. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And if you'll keep yourself in the love of God, bitterness and unforgiveness can never come in. Because love will always dissolve it before it ever gets set. Just don't let it happen. Don't let it in. Because something God will not do is overlook your sin if you have a grudge and unforgiveness in your own heart. God's serious about this. I said God is serious about this. Amen. I know that's a heavy subject. But God is serious about unforgiveness. Amen. I think it would be a good time for us to release things right now. Amen. Just, it'd be a good time to release things. If you come to this altar tonight, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Amen. It means you're a good person. It means that you're endeavoring to do the right thing. You want to do the right thing. You are choosing to do the right thing. Amen. Because by coming here, you're just simply saying to the Lord, God, thank you for forgiving me. And I want to forgive everybody. I'm not going to hold anything in my heart. No bitterness. No pain. I'm going to release it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to think about it. Amen. I'm just going to let it all go. Amen. Would anybody be willing to do that here tonight? Does anybody want to thank God for forgiveness and just lay everything at the altar and empty out your heart tonight? Amen. I know it. You've got some things perhaps that were very hurtful to you, and I'm not preaching this tonight flippantly. And I don't mean tonight in any way to try to dilute your pain and your suffering. I'm not trying to take it lightly. I'm not speaking lightly. But I'm just saying to you tonight, the greatest thing you can do for yourself and your relationship with God is to forgive.